hello, everybody. Let's see, who do we have so far? We've got Ruthie, Erica, welcome. How are you, ladies? Hello. Hello, Erica. Yeah, cool. Hey, just for fun, while we're waiting for everybody else, I'm curious, is there an app that on your phone or your mobile device that you really like and many people don't know about? So, you know, other than the usual suspects, anything that you're getting value out of, or it's fun or it's useful, and it's an app you would not delete. Forest, says Ruthie. What's it about? I've never heard of it. Hey, Janelle, welcome. Anna, welcome. Great to have you here. I tell you, I got a few that fit in this category. For me, Scannable is one, and it fits. It works really well with Evernote, and I'm able to scan anything really, really easily with my phone, and I got all kinds of options in terms of how I distribute it, in terms of emailing it, saving it to Evernote, texting it to somebody, all kinds of cool stuff, just really, really practical. Eric is, I'm trying to cut the cord between me and my phone. Yeah, not alone. Not alone, sister. Okay, Ruthie says it plants a little virtual tree for a certain length of time that you can leave. Oh, that you can leave your phone alone. Bigger tree for a longer length of time. I upgrade them once I get a certain amount of points. They'll plant a real tree. I love that. What a cool way to gamify the process of detaching yourself from your phone. Yeah. Okay. So you just gave me a great idea. Forest app. I'm writing that down. Cool. Hey, Kelly, welcome. Janelle, Kelly, Anna. We're just having a little fun here. We're waiting for a couple more folks. What's an app that you really enjoy, that you get a lot of use out of, and maybe it's one of the not so popular ones that, you know, everyone knows about? Just type it into the chat area. I'm looking here, see what else I've got. You guys know that I'm a really big fan of Voxer. It's been a big one for me. And the Dropbox app for my phone, just because sometimes I am remote, and to be able to dig something up for my team from wherever I am, or to someone, to send to someone, is really, really cool. And it says, now that I moved to Tennessee, I check dark sky all day. Not necessarily when I lived in California. I'm not familiar with dark sky. Oh, okay, weather. Yeah. Yeah. I may need to try that. I've been using Weather Underground for a couple of years now, and it's better than the Weather Channel app, but I'm still not crazy about it. Good stuff. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started. We move a couple things around. And as usual, I'd like to get started on a positive note, and we'd just love to hear about your win. So just for Anna's sake, and Anna is new to the group, this is her first call. The way we do this is just basically let us know about something that's happened recently that you feel really good about. And a win could be anything. It doesn't have to be a new client or landing a big project. It could be something small. It could be the fact that you got an aha moment, or you're making progress somewhere, or you got somebody who responded to a prospecting email. It was kind of unexpected. Maybe you got a referral. Hasn't turned into a client yet, but it was a great, great surprise. So just go to the chat area and type in capital W, and then let us know about that win. All right, so we want to celebrate those. Ruthie says, got my new website up and running. Woo, yeah, man, congratulations. Great to hear. That's a big, big step, Ruthie. Good stuff. Erica says, connected with an accountability partner, quoted on a project, a number that made me feel 7 out of 10 uncomfortable. Oh, there you go. I like that. Great, man, good going, Erica. That's great. That's a good gauge. I know we talked about that a few weeks ago with that other one. By the way, did you end up landing that other one? I can't remember that one where you were like 50-50, 5 out of 10. Janelle says, just finished a project that paid double my usual rate, though still on an hourly basis. Hey, listen, progress. That is absolutely, that's real progress right there. Congratulations, Janelle. Good stuff. Okay, so that one ended up going internal. Okay. Hey, it's for the best, right? Kelly says, finishing the last module on my action plan. Excellent. Good to see that, Kelly. Love, been seeing your progress lately, and I love that consistency. Good for you. Baby steps. There you go. Baby steps. And Janelle, same with you. You know, I know it was quiet for a while. Life was absolutely nuts on your end. It's great to see you back on track and making progress. Good stuff. All right. Curious what you guys are working on. So what is your main focus right now? Some of you have let me know that your website's now complete, but just for just so everybody knows what everyone in the group is working on, type in a capital P in the chat area and let me know what your focus is right now in terms of our work together. As you know, I like to work in projects when it comes to your business, many times because that's how we're used to working when it comes to client work. So if you think of this as project work, but your own, you're your own client, your top client, then that's a great way to think of it. And everyone in their game plans has three projects that they're working on at any given time, or three projects that are there that's their focus. So curious, out of those, which one is your focus on this week? Let us know in the chat area. Type in a P in front of it. While you do that, I'm also going to check for pre-submitted questions. So when we get there here in a minute, I can see if anyone has got anything they'd like to talk about that can't make the call. Okay, so yeah, Jacob submitted a question, and we'll get to those here in a minute. Ruthie says, trying to find a way using my network to land a white paper in my former industry, government intelligence. Oh, good. Good stuff, Ruthie. Yeah, I remember we had that conversation there, and that's the way to go. Right, tap your network. It's an easier way to overcome the track record, right, and the experience and the sample, because the relationship will trump those things, the right relationships and the right situations. Good. Keep us posted. Anna says, a very challenging article due tomorrow on nutrition for transgender people. Planning on starting my new plan and modules later today. Awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, it's great to have you in the group, Anna. Janelle says, recently started warm email prospecting, wrapping my head around consistent prospect research and setting up a process for reaching out. Excellent. Let me know where I can help there, Janelle. It's the kind of thing that, you know, you kind of need to get started to, so you can get into it, and then the questions start emerging, right? And then we can troubleshoot and figure, okay, how do we make this more efficient? How do we optimize this process? It's better if you already have a foundation and you already have some practice, gotten 20, 30 out the door, and then we can absolutely, help you make that better. Erica, mindset shift. This freelance work is a mental game. Also reading white papers for dummies and working out a game plan with my accountability partner. Excellent. That's a wonderful book. Love white papers for dummies. Kelly is looking for a lawyer to draft a more professional fee agreement. All right. Good stuff. All right. So let's go to questions. Let me know where you need some help. So the way we do this, and this is really for Anna's sake, Anna, we'll just, if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, type in a capital Q in the chat area, and then let me know what your question is. All I ask is that you keep your question focused and specific, right? So the more specific you can get, the better outcome we can create here, the better advice I can give you. We can have a good conversation around it. One question per person. I can come back to you. I just want to give everyone a shot. So if anyone has to go, they get an opportunity to get some coaching. And we usually do 2-3 rounds. So there's always plenty of time to ask questions. And once we get to talk, tell me what one or two options you're considering if it's an A, B scenario. Okay. Just know that I'll unmute you. But if you're somewhere where maybe you don't have a mic or you're somewhere where there's a lot of background noise, let me know when you type in your question that that's the case, and I won't try to unmute you, okay? But it's whenever possible, I like to have a conversation so we can really dig deep and really help you with your issue. All right, so let's start with Jacob. And by the way, and again for Anna's sake, but a reminder to everybody, you can always pre-submit a question if you know you're not going to be in the call. So if you don't think you can be here or you're not really sure, but you have a question, there's every call has its own page, and there's a field right there where you can enter a question, pre-submit it. I will address it usually in the first round of the call, and you can catch the replay and listen to my answer later at your convenience. So Jacob had a question he pre-submitted. He says, I have a prospect that responded to my warm email with interest. He asked me to check back with him in 2 weeks, which I did, but I haven't heard back since. I've sent multiple emails but can't get a response. I thought I'd try one more time and send a physical letter. Should I send my original email that first got a response, or should I mention that we talked before but I haven't heard back from him since? How should I approach this letter? Yeah, great question. So the first thing before I answer that is keep in mind that the tendency for many of us is when that happens to assume that we either did something wrong or that the prospect is no longer interested. Like we always default, and I'm not saying everybody, but most of us default to worst case scenario. And the reality is that it's the opposite. In most situations, in most cases, it was an issue of they just got pulled in a totally different direction. You have to understand that prospects in many cases, and not just corporate America, but I see this in smaller businesses, mid-sized businesses, entrepreneurs, they're just crazy. And a lot of them don't do a great job managing their day, their weeks, and sometimes it's just not completely their fault. It's just absolutely nuts. They're getting pulled in many different directions, and they're constantly in firefighting mode. The work that they came to us about is a small part of everything else they got going on and that they're responsible for. So you need to understand that because if you do, then I think it helps to kind of calm the nerves. And I'm not saying Jacob is in this place right now, but this is really a reminder for everybody because I know even though I spent years in sales, that was still my first thought is, oh my gosh, I said something wrong or they're figuring out that I'm not qualified or something along those lines. And that's rarely, rarely the case. So, when you think about it that way, what we're trying to do is we want to make sure that our name is top of mind. So when they come out of this place they're in, then we're going to be one of the top items on their to-do list or to respond list, right? So we're just waiting for the right time. Therefore, going into kind of a shotgun, I'm gonna follow up with them 7 times in the next 3 days kind of thing is never a good approach. Instead, you want to spread out your follow-up over a longer time frame. The way I do it is have a system, have a list of, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow. I'm going to do email first, then another email so many days later of no response. Then I'm going to place a call and leave a voicemail because that's usually where it's going to go. It's a voicemail. And then so have it written down. Frankly, what that list looks like doesn't really matter as much. The reason to have it is so that you take the emotion out of it. Because when you have it, you just follow the process as opposed to, oh my gosh, should I try one more time? I don't know. What should I do? I'm useless. What am I doing? I'm a fraud. So that negative self-talk takes over and that's not good. So when you have it written down it's easier to follow. You just follow an objective process. So going back to Jacob's situation, that was just a little bit of context. Before I would get into that, I would try phone. I believe that, you know, don't just depend on email. He's already talking about maybe sending a physical letter, which I think is a great idea, but try the phone. You know, sometimes, and even if you get the voicemail, which I actually like many times, because the prospect will be in a more receptive mood at that time. And when you think about how when people check voicemail, they know they're listening to voicemail as opposed to getting a call in an unexpected time, and then it's just not a good time, right? So I would encourage you to go ahead and call, leave a voicemail, and then your sincerity will come through. And if anything, it's going to make a better impression and a bigger impression because I've heard your voice. So I would try that first, and I would let them know that, hey, listen, I don't know where you are with this. You know, it sounds like it's just not a good time. I don't want to keep bugging you, so this is my last attempt. But listen, if your situation changes, let me know. I'd love to re-engage with you on this and see if maybe if it makes sense to work together. So two things happen there. Well, a few things. First, you the sincerity comes through. The voice, adding that element to it, will increase the chances you get a response. The other thing is letting them know that this is your last attempt. Puts them on notice that you're not going to be a snooze button anymore. You know, that this is it. Like, if you hit the snooze button, you know, I'm not going to keep following up with you. And it gives them a way out. You're letting them save face by letting them know, look, it's okay. It's totally okay. And, you know, I'm sure you got all kinds of crazy things going on. And if things change or when they change, I'd love to reengage. You've made it safe for them to contact you. Okay. So bottom line, long answer to a short question, what I would do is I would do phone first. And, I think it's okay to do a letter. Maybe at the same time, but you know, with a phone, you've kind of let them know that this is your last attempt. So it's up to you. But if you want to do both at the same time, I think that's fine. And I wouldn't go back to the original message and pretend that nothing has happened. Instead, I would include the original message, and then let them know, hey, I've tried checking back with you, but I haven't heard. I'm sure you maybe got pulled off in different directions. Would love to re-engage. So basically, it's kind of the original message with the key talking points from your voicemail. That's it. And what you're hoping for there is that it'll be a pattern interrupt because they're getting something like that in the mail, and nobody sends that kind of mail. So the combination of voicemail with the physical letter could be a great idea. And again, you're just trying to plant the seeds for when things clear for them, then it's going to be safe for them to come back to you. That's really the name of the game. Okay. Great stuff. And this is something we all face. So I'm glad you brought that up, Jacob. All right. Ruthie has a question here. Looking at getting this first white paper, what's the absolute lowest I should go in terms of price? I don't have any examples of white papers or even case studies to send or use. Yeah. So let me, Ruthie, let's talk about that. Hey, Ruthie, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I was trying to think of what I could do to be prepared should any warm leads come my way. And that is like a huge one for me.
Warm leads, like responding to your offer to write a white paper?
So there were a couple of people in my network that I reached out to, one specifically that I'm hoping bears really good fruit because she is the CEO of a government contracting company that provides language services to the government, which is exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Before I became a writer, and she has three companies that she thinks are big enough, you know, to probably outsource, and who would be interested. And so I'm really hoping that that one bears some fruit, since I have like years of past experience in that particular industry. But I've also been speaking with some friends or former colleagues who are in government contracting in the intelligence field in general, since all of my experience, all my language experience ties to government intelligence. So those would also be really good leads for me as well. So right now, before I like start contacting the companies I know directly, I'm contacting the people that I know in those companies or who might know, like the CEOs, like the one person I initially spoke about.
Okay, cool. All right, so let me give you a straight answer, and then I want to come back to some context and some things to think about. Okay. And Erica has already mentioned it, I think White Paper for Dummies. I don't think. It's a must.
Okay.
Not for two reasons. The first is when you land it, and you know how these things go, right? Sometimes it happens quickly.
Yeah.
You want to have that on your bookshelf. The second reason is I think if you get it and start just, this is the kind of book you don't want to read cover to cover. When you get it, I would thumb through it. So skim it. You want to get a lay of the land. You want to understand what's in there. And I think what it will do for you from a mindset standpoint is going to make you feel good about it. It's going to get you excited because you're going to see that there's like, he has laid it out and explain to you how to tackle these projects. So you're going to feel more confident when you have these conversations. And in fact, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody will ask you a question and you'll remember having read something about that or something from the book that you can use in the conversation. So you're going to be better prepared for those conversations. And again, I would spend maybe, you know, like an hour, for instance, skimming it, maybe taking some notes, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so I think that's going to give you enough preparation to have some good conversations with these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the context piece that I wanted to mention is, I hope this makes sense, but you're not looking to convince someone who needs to see more than what you have right now. So you're looking for someone who, based on the recommendation and based on your background and based on their need right now, like, you know, just happen to be right place at the right time. They have been talking about doing something and they can't continue to wait. Based on those factors, they're ready to give you a shot. If they need to see more proof and a track record and samples and they don't trust you, and they don't, you can't convince those people. And I think if you understand that and you can let go of that, you're going to be a lot happier and a lot more relaxed than if you feel like you just got to land something and you got to like make an incredible impression with everybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like with a lot of the other forms of content that I've written, I feel that way. Like when somebody approaches me about it, like I, you know, pretty much tell them it is what it is and, you know, kind of lay it out. And then I'm, you know, whether they take it or not, like, you know, I usually account for like external factors as far as that goes. But I guess with the white papers, because they're so big and they're projects that have the possibility of consuming so much time, like quoting badly on this, I feel like, you know, probably within what, like the first 10 hours that you're working on it, whether you quoted good or bad. So, and
all right, well, let's
see. So many opinions about what a white paper even is. Because I've seen some people say, oh, it's like, you know, like 3 pages. And I'm like, that's not the white papers I've been reading about.
So. I know. So keep in mind that so you brought up a really good point. Don't worry about optimizing right now for the right fee.
Okay.
Let's go back to what I just talked about. Your job is to fix this short-term problem. The short-term problem is right now you're trying to do something that you technically don't have any experience doing, but you have all the preparation needed to make it work, and you're about to have the best resource possible in terms of Gordon's book, okay? I have no doubt that you'll do a bang-up job. So we really have a short-term problem in that once somebody gives you a shot, guess what? This is no longer an issue. Now, it's not going to be like your confidence is going to go from 20 to 100 overnight, 100 being the, you know, the best possible score in that department. But it's going to go from, let's say, 20 to 60. You know, that's a huge, huge jump. So I would look at this as my goal right now is to land a white paper project for the confidence boost it's going to give me and for the ability to bridge this gap that I have. Because once I can do that, then I know the second one will be easier to get and to do. Right?
Yeah, that makes
sense. So when you look at it that way, then let's go back to your original question. What's the minimum you should charge? That really is kind of irrelevant then, because first of all, you're not going to get stuck at that rate. In many cases, the client is not going to then say, okay, great, well, we got 28 others to do. So you quoted us X, you're on the hook. So it's usually going to be a one-time thing. And if there's a second one, you know, deal with that at that point. But to give you a straight answer, I would say I would be flexible. I would say, you know, at the lowest, probably 1,500 to 2,000. Those are pretty low numbers. But here's the thing. Once you have one under your belt, you'll be able to go, you know, much higher.
Yeah.
And then the third one higher than that. At that point, you know, you can keep going up incrementally. You're not going to be able to double it. In kind of where you want to end up being after you have, let's just say 8 to 10 under your belt, you know, 5,000. I think that's a, you know, a good number to be in. But at first, it doesn't really matter because you have other goals.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And don't, you know, I want you to remember, don't discount everything else you bring to the table, because remember, if you don't have the experience with this, the fact that you have a recommendation and the fact that you have this background, leverage that. So show them what you have that you bring to the table.
Okay.
And I think you may have seen before, I posted this in the Facebook group maybe a month ago. When you don't have one thing, you kind of triangulate. There's 3 points, right? You remember right. Seeing that?
Yeah.
So let me, for those of you who didn't see that real quick, it's the, let me bring my iPad up. This is with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. For some reason, this is stuck. Well, I'll just give it to you verbally. They want this, right? Well, you don't have that. So what you do, instead of saying, well, sorry, I can't help you. Okay, think about what you do have that would make you capable or competent to do this thing that they're looking for. And then show them, like bridge that gap, connect the dots for them, show them. And again, not everyone's going to go for it, but in many cases, that's going to be good enough because the background experience and perspective that you have from your work in the military is very, very relevant to the, you know, the companies you just told me about.
Yeah.
That's worth something.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Cool.
I remember all those things.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Hey, it's yeah. Just try to keep it in mind. And you're going to be nervous, and that's totally fine. But you're going to do well.
Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome. All right. For some reason, my Zoom is – here we go. I love this tool, but sometimes it's a little wonky. Okay, so let's go back to questions. And again, if you have something, just type it in the chat area with a capital Q in front of it so I don't miss it. Kelly has a question. Mailshake's cleaner has nixed a fair amount of email addresses, so I'm thinking of switching to direct mail for those prospects. Should I opt for letterhead for this? Yeah, you absolutely could, Kelly. You know, you're going to get – let me bring you in. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Ed. I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah, it's you'll get two different opinions on it, and you know, maybe just test it. One school of thought is, you know, go with a letterhead, just looks nice.
Okay.
And, you know, it can't hurt, it can only help you. The other school of thought is anything you can do to stand out and not blend in, so keep it kind of scrappy and grassroots and don't do letterhead, it's going to get more attention because it just feels like, you know what, you didn't want to wait for your letterhead. You just like wanted to go ahead and just type up something personal and send it to them.
Okay.
So it's hard to say. If it were me, I would just go ahead and do letterhead as long as it didn't get in the way. So as long as this doesn't require you to now find a designer, get a logo created, you know, go through that whole process.
Okay. Well, I do have a logo. I was thinking about getting some letterhead designed anyway. So I was thinking maybe like the first round, I could do it just plain paper. And then if I ever tried to circle back to another campaign with those people, I would use letterhead.
Yeah, you could do that.
And also, do you do the same follow-up with the direct mail, or is it just one-off mailing?
If it's someone that I've identified, if it's a prospect I've identified I really want to work with at some point, I will do more. Whether I do a second or third attempt, or I might just start a new round. Like I'll wait a month or two and I'll do like another whole round, hoping that again, maybe at that time they were just crazy with a conference, users conference or whatever. And if I wait a couple of months, maybe the situation will be different on their end.
Gotcha. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, going back to the original issue that you mentioned, I would also check to look for another resource to see if you can find some of those email addresses. You know, like, have you tried hunter.io?
Yeah, that's basically what happened. I used Hunter, and then when I was putting them into Mailshake, Hunter kept on guessing, saying, okay, this is our best guess. And then It was like, okay, well, this is risky, this is bad, and so on. So I figured, I guess better be safe than sorry. Or do you feel like Hunter's best guesses are usually spot on?
I wouldn't say usually. I mean, like, you know, not like 90% of the time or better, but I think it's usually a good bet. The other thing I will do is just a quick manual check with I'll try to find two other email addresses for people there just randomly with some of those Google searches, to see what the email convention is. And if I see a pattern,
right,
like let's say, you know, ed.gandia@abccompany.com. So if I see that it's first name dot last name for the two or three that I found, then I'll just go with that.
Okay. I was doing that as well. And I'm not quite sure if those were some of the ones that Mailshake was mixing. So maybe is, you know, try some of those manually just to see if they bounce back and then go to direct mail. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that. I like that because, I mean, otherwise it's either that or it takes them out, right? Or you don't never even try them. And mm-hmm. I'd rather at least try. Now, the bad thing about doing it outside of Mailshake is you're not going to have that automation with a follow-up, right? Did you set up some automation, the follow-ups?
Oh, yeah, I did. But
yeah.
At least I would know then, you know, even if I have to do it manually this time around, it's still just a few, not the majority. And
yeah,
push them back in. And for the next campaign, I can ignore Mailshake when it goes a little bit crazy about it.
Yeah.
So I don't mind.
Okay. Yeah. I would rather do that. I think that's a more sound approach because you never know. I mean, you know, and since you're only doing a few, it's not like you're doing hundreds. When you're doing hundreds of thousands of something, you can afford to just skip a few because there's problems with it. Cause you're working the law of averages. And here, you know, it's not like you're doing that many. So each of them has to kind of count.
Right. Yeah. I was feeling pretty frustrated when
when a milkshake was taking some of them off, because one last time it was about half of what I was trying to put in. So, yeah, that you're right. It does add up.
Yeah, it really does. Are you supplementing this with LinkedIn as well, by any chance? Like, are you also sending a connection request to some of these prospects?
That's my last module. So I haven't, I was supposed to start this week, but, I'm at least by the end of the week, I'm going to start going there, doing that.
Gotcha. And by the way, and just in case for you guys, and in case Jacob listens to the whole replay, that's something I forgot to mention. That's adding LinkedIn to the sequence. And there's many ways of doing that, can be a really smart thing to do. So going back to Jacob's situation, and in your case too, Kelly, you got somebody who responded positively, but now you can't, like, suddenly they disappeared. If you send a connection request, or if you're already connected to them and then you try them there, that could be, or you like something they shared, or you comment on something they shared, that can sometimes be the trigger. You know, how many times we've all been here, right? Somebody has a voicemail or a text out to you, and then you were in the middle of something and then you forgot. And then a few days later on Facebook, you see one of their posts. You're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to get back to Steve. You know, same idea. So, yeah, I think adding LinkedIn somewhere in that process will also help you with that, increase the chances that they'll respond somehow.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Okay. All right, let's see. Anna has a question here. You mentioned an article about a registered dietitian who switched her business model a bit. Can you share with me or the group? Yeah, I forgot to include that, didn't I? Hey, let me bring you in. Hey, Anna, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing well. Welcome. Welcome to the group.
Thank you.
Yes. Let me do this. In fact, I'm gonna find the link right now, and I'm gonna post it in the chat area. And then I'll give everyone some background.
Great.
Okay. And I remember her name. Her name is Pat Baird. Let me see. Pat Baird. Okay. So I'm going to post this article. It's old. But it's really not about timeliness. It's really about the concept. Just posted it to the chat area. So for everybody's sake, and so you understand what Anna's asking about, for years I've been using this example because I thought it was just – it illustrates my point really, really well. Years ago I was reading an article in Forbes about this lady, Pat Baird. She's a registered dietitian, and she was working on her own for over 20 years and, you know, doing okay. She made a shift where she decided, you know what, with my knowledge and expertise, I wonder if I can increase my income by shifting the kinds of clients that I work with, just going to a different market. And she tried it. She did. She started working with a lot of different companies where that they were paying much more for her expertise. So it was an issue of she was either before she was working with individuals, and then now she was working with companies that had bigger budgets and were willing to pay really good money for her experience, perspective, expertise, and know-how. And what I found so interesting about that is that she was the same person, like nothing changed. She didn't go out and get an additional degree. She didn't go, you know, go find all these things that increase her value. Her intrinsic value was the same. Yet just by shifting her target market, she was able to, let's just say, triple her income. And I started calling that going after hungrier markets. Now, the interesting thing about you, Anna, is, as I mentioned in the game plan review, I've been using that example for years, and you're the first person I actually get to use it with who's also a registered dietitian.
Crazy, right?
Total coincidence, yeah. So the whole, but I want to make sure you understood, is like, this is, don't take it literally. I use this example with everyone because it's a great illustration I think we can all relate to. In your case, it just happens to be very literal.
Right.
So my whole point is, it's not about following her recipe exactly. It's about the inherent lesson here, which is, you know, you can go and you can write blog posts. Like, you could have this background and you could write blog posts for, you know, this particular market, which doesn't want to pay more than, you know, a couple hundred, if that, for a blog post. Or you could go and write white papers and research reports and work on strategy with companies that are, that really value your expertise because of your background and experience and all that. And they're willing to pay and they have the budgets for it. And nothing needs to change. Like, if you more than likely already have that capability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
just been easy to get the blog post work, you know? So now I got to think about it a little differently, but
exactly.
Take a look at the article for sure.
Take a look at it and just, I think it's this kind of thing you're going to need to let kind of marinate for a little bit, because it's going to require you to think differently. And maybe the more it sits there, the higher the chances that some ideas will come to the surface, right? But you guys know this because a lot of people in this group have or are writing blog posts for clients, and you know. I mean, that market has just been commoditized to, it's just bare bones. You cannot get to the next level in your business by writing mainly blog posts. And I know you guys recognize this. The answer, the way to crack this problem is not by writing more of them or by inching your way up. Okay, well, I was getting 150. I'm going to start asking for 175. That is, you will burn out. That is no way to do it. The only way is to make quantum leap improvements. And the way, you're not going to do it with blog posts. It's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't be part of the mix, by the way, Anna. It's like, you know, you could work with clients where you get in the door with something else, and then part of your work with them ends up being some blog posts. But that's going to be a totally different approach, and you can set it up that way so you're not making, you know, bottom rates, bargain basement rates, you know, on that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, because I write a lot of blog posts.
We're going to change that. We're going to change that right now. It's like, hey, that formula has gotten you to where you are, which is impressive, but now we need to figure, okay, how do we work smarter?
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So it's there. Be interested to hear your perspective. And as you start thinking through this, let me know. Okay. Where I can help.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I want to do a quick check-in and just curious, what's been most valuable so far in the conversations that we've had? If you type in capital V in the chat area, and just let me know. What's kind of stood out, maybe something we talked about, something you heard from a conversation with somebody else. So just let me know. And, of course, you can also ask away if you got something that you'd like to discuss. In the meantime, a few more folks have joined us. Hey, Paul, Liz, Hannah. All right, so now it's definitely a party. We got enough people here for a party for sure. Ruthie's valuable, give me some confidence looking at white papers. Yeah. Hey, look, we all had our first one, right? Somebody had to give us a shot. In my case, it's actually very common. The way it happened, Ruthie, by the way, is I was writing some brochures for the software client, and I was working directly with a VP of marketing, and he had somebody on his team, a director, actually a product manager, who came to him, hey, listen, I got to get this white paper written. We got to explain this better. He said, well, I've been working with this writer. I wonder if he's interested. And they just asked me, hey, listen, They didn't say, have you ever written? They just said, do you write white papers? Would you be interested in helping us with this thing? I said, absolutely. I was scared like you wouldn't believe going to that meeting. And they were local, so I ended up meeting them in person. And I just did all the reading that I could ahead of time, and I didn't have White Papers for Dummies going into it, by the way, so just so I can get a basic understanding and so I could ask good questions. And I just showed up. And remember, we sat in that boardroom, and I asked good questions, and it went well. And they hired me for it. And I want to say I charged $2,800 or $3,000 because I just didn't know, you know, and they totally went for it. But I had built trust there already, right? So they already knew me. They liked my work. So sometimes it just happens like that. Okay. Ruthie says, yeah, I get my first video ad script that way. That's awesome. Exactly. So this, it could happen the same way like this, with white papers. Liz, a reminder that I need to consistently go for the Marcom team versus solo person, solo operation. Absolutely. Yeah. Which is under your control, right, Liz? It's like, that's something you can impact. Hannah, your conversation with Ruthie, I'm dealing with a similar situation, bridging this sample gap. Had a great call with a heart IT prospect. Went well. Now it's time to send triangulated samples. There you go. And hey, congrats on landing that retainer deal, Hannah. That's fantastic. Health IT. Okay, I was going to say heart IT. That sounded interesting, like maybe some kind of heart monitoring app for cardiologists. Had a good ring to it. Yeah, okay, so let me know where I can help, guys. Got questions, you'd like to talk through an issue, you need feedback on something, just type in a capital Q in front of it so I see it. That will help me make sure I don't skip it by accident. And let me see if this works this time. Try to do the iPad thing. Okay, so the triangulation idea is this is what the prospect wants, right? And this is what you have. Okay, so most writers will say, well, you want, man, that's too bad. You want this, and I don't have anything like that. I have this. And they leave it at that. Well, that's not very convincing, right? But the whole idea is when you pick the what you have, pick strategically. And then show them, so this is what I want. Okay, I don't have that. Here's what I do have. And show them things that you can now say why that's relevant. So the whole idea is just an example, right? It's the white papers. Do you have any samples you can send me? You know, I don't have any samples, but here's what I do have. I've been doing long format articles and research reports, and they tend to follow the same format. I'm confident that I'd be able to do a great job for you. Not only do I have that, right? So that's this, but I also have this experience. And Ruthie's examples would be her, that experience in the military with languages and so on and so forth, military intelligence, and that's awesome stuff. In fact, I would say that in many cases that counts for a heck of a lot more. And then, so this is why it's relevant. And then what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for success here. So just get used to thinking that way. It's this is really lateral thinking rather than the traditional approach I think many of us tend to do. It's like, well, it's binary. Well, I don't have that, so I guess I'm not a fit. Always think creatively. All right, well, I don't have that, but here's what I do have. And this is why it would work for you and why I think I know I could do a bang-up job. Paul says, I'm just hanging out, listening while I work, sort of a free-form podcast vibe. Oh, yeah, cool. I like it. Yeah, we should we should publish these as podcast episodes. I will never do that to you guys, so don't worry. Feel free to talk openly here. This is still a private forum. Ruthie, I do have long form content. I wonder if I could repurpose any of my college work. You could. You know what though? I wouldn't necessarily do that right now though. Don't feel like, you know what, for my own sake, I need to have something. I wouldn't go there yet. Because you may not need to. You may not need to. If you start getting resistance, even with this approach, even though you're saying, here's what I do have, these long form projects and these pieces, and here's experience that I bring to the table beyond the writing. And even with that, explaining why that's relevant, you can't get them to budge. Then I would consider that. But I wouldn't put that work up front. I'd rather see you put that time and energy going through Gordon's book, because I think that's going to give you better confidence than taking some of those papers and repurposing them. Okay, Liz says, I'm going to raise rates for new clients facing the fear of going too high. Yeah. All right. So Liz, for some reason... There we go. Let me try to unmute you. Hey, Liz. Liz. I can't hear you. You may not have your mic on or maybe on mute. Can you tell me a little bit more? Because you put it as a question, but how can I best help you with that? Let me know. And I'll bring you back. So let me go to Hannah. I'm wondering if I should mention that I'll have some white paper samples in the next couple of months. All right, Hannah. So let me bring you in. So give me – all right. So, hey, Hannah, I think you're on. Can you say something? I'm not hearing Hannah either. Can you guys hear me? Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. Yeah, try coming back on and see if that works. All right, so we're going to wait for Hannah. I'm also waiting for Liz. Erica, some great comments here. I'm with you here, says Erica to Liz. I like to follow Ed's rule of thumb, quarter price. It makes you feel about 7 out of 10 uncomfortable. I just did that, and it's exhilarating. Yeah. Yeah. Playing with fire. Living on the edge. Ruthie says, Ed, I don't have time for that extra work right now. Yeah, in terms of repurposing your stuff, most of the COs are also former military, which means they know – we all had to learn jobs we didn't have experience doing, so I think your approach will work really well for them. You know, even better. I love that. There you go. So you're talking to your people. I love that. And your record and your experience will stand on its own. Even better. Even more reason to go about it this way. Erica feels like a pirate in a good way. I love it. You're going to start taking chances now, jumping off airplanes, going bungee jumping, whitewater rafting in the most dangerous rivers. There you go. All right, Hannah, let me try you back. Actually, let me do this. Liz, let me – you were first. Let me try you back. Hey, Liz. All right, that's not working. Or Liz, you know what? You could – I mean, let me know. Give me a little bit more in terms of your – give me a question. And I don't want to guess as to where you need help there. I'd rather know a little bit more where I can best help. And let's try Hannah again. Ah, Hannah, I think I hear something.
Good. Can you hear me?
Yay.
Now? Awesome.
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes. So I had a I finally got a nibble from my warm email prospecting in that new target market. And I turned into a call, and the call went really well. And it was kind of, you know, what is it? It's a health IT consulting firm. So she was very kind of busy, on the edge of flustered, but good. You know, we got through the conversation well. And we stayed focused on, I had a really good, I was prepared and I had a good little spiel on my background and sort of why this market makes sense for me. And I really tried to focus on case studies and white papers because that is really what I want to be focusing on moving forward. And she mentioned they have a writer until the end of Q1, but they're not super enthralled with her, so they are open to working with someone new, and that they were looking for maybe some blog stuff, but, you know, also white paper and case studies if I wanted to write that. And like, we almost got off the call without, you know, without the, can you send white paper samples? Because it was like, she was like, yeah, you know, send me, you know, some rate ranges. And I was like, great. And some samples. And if you have any white paper samples and super technical writing, that'd be great. Please send that. So now, then I was like, oh, dang it. It's like, I almost got to the end of that specific question. But so I've sort of written up, an email trying to use this triangulation method. But then I was thinking, I did get that retainer deal, and I have another potential white paper project, which I'm going to follow up with at the end of the week. So if I get these, is it worth mentioning? Like, definitely have two of them, but is it worth mentioning, you know, saying, here are my samples for now. This is how they triangulate into something that's relevant for you. But I will also have some, you know, official white paper samples within the next couple of months that I can send over to. Because in a way, I think it could be an advantage. But then in a way, it's like really highlighting the fact that I'm very new to this. So
I think this is absolutely the way to go. Okay. And I like I don't know if you're thinking about this, but I would use the fact that you've landed these two opportunities where you are going to be writing white papers as social proof that somebody has said you're good enough, we're going to hire you for that.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
So essentially what we're talking about is you follow the same approach. You know, you want this is kind of a red light, right, because this shouldn't really be green. Here's what I do have. And then I have this, and I have this, and then you're adding something else. You're adding the third thing, which is the social proof. So it's just one more arrow in your quiver. And of course, why that's relevant to you, why it matters. This one kind of stands on its own. You know, obviously you never want to say, well, you know, other people trusted me, you should trust me too. That kind of stands on its own, but it's leveraging these two to explain that. I think also there's one thing that's unsaid in here. When you're in a situation like you are, where it's you just landed two opportunities. I know one of them is like almost there, but your confidence. Your confidence comes through, and many times that confidence is what gets them to give you a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the opposite of not having that confidence. The opposite of not having that confidence is if you're desperate. You would have been on the other end many times before, right, when we're talking to somebody who's desperate, and that repels, that doesn't attract.
Yeah.
Confidence attracts. So I think if you're because of where you are right now, I would leverage that as best, you know, as much as you can to help you win this deal. They say, I don't know if you've heard this before in sales, there's this thing that people say that the sales trainers urge salespeople to do, which is the best time to make a sale is when you've just made a sale.
Right.
and it's counterintuitive. And it's not what most people do, because you know what most salespeople do when they land a big deal? is they quit the day and they go celebrate.
They go buy a round of drinks, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the time to say, woohoo, celebrate for 5 minutes and then start picking up the phone, you know, back in the old days, or, you know, continue your prospecting. The probability of landing something else at that point is much, much higher than 5 minutes prior.
Yeah, I believe it.
So, yeah, so just a little lesson for everybody, and something maybe to keep in mind is when you get wins, that is the best time to do the thing you've been procrastinating on out of fear, to follow up with Cindy, to, you know, contact so-and-so, to send a warm email to this company that I've been too scared to approach, to, you know what, I was about to send this quote out, I'm going to bump it up by 20%. 5 minutes ago, I would have been terrified. That wouldn't even cross my mind. Now I'm going to go ahead and tack on another 20%. That's the time to do it.
One other question then, since I will be, it will be obvious that I'm new to the white paper game. You know, I'm going to be talking to Ruthie about starting quoting rates lower. I always, kind of want to just push it and see what I can get, you know? So it's like I always want to ask for just regular rates. But do you think, since it's clear that this is going to be an early project for me in this sort of arena, I should just quote a little lower than the sort of the standard rates for white papers, just to try and get it in the bag and then incrementally move up as I go?
Yes and no. And in fact, and this is something for Ruthie as well, for everybody. This is why you always want to talk money in the conversation, because you kind of want to see what budget they're thinking or what they've got to work with. Don't automatically assume. So that advice about quoting lower was really based on you've already had a money conversation, and but they're concerned, you know, about, well, gosh, but yeah, you haven't written and you've already gone through this and it's still kind of an issue. And then quoting lower, it helps reduce the risk even further.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what they're working with, I mean, you might be leaving a lot of money on the table. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, I asked. It seems like I always get the – it's like playing chicken, where I'll ask and they want me to say first, you know, something like
okay.
that. So, yeah, I'm just going to send them. I was planning on just sending them sort of standard range rates and seeing, you know, what the reaction was, gauging from
there. Yeah, and you could, you know, or you could do this. Like, let's just say that, you know, experienced white papers are going to do something like 5 to 6K. Okay, for a standard problem solution white paper, we're talking finished 10 to 12 pages or something like that. You know, at the bottom end of the range, you know, so with Ruthie, we're talking about, you know, minimum 1.5K to maybe, you know, maybe 2.5. This being, you know, you could still make it work for that, because again, the main goal here is not optimizing profitability. It's really all the other benefits of getting this. So maybe you are somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're maybe 3 to 4K. 3 to 4K is good enough that, you know what, if they it works out with the first one and then they want to give you two more this year, you're not going to hate your life.
Yeah, that's important too.
Yeah. And it's like professional level rate. It's nothing like crazy. Of course, you never know what they're used to paying. But, you know, so the way I do this is, what budget are you working with? Well, I don't know. You tell me, right? So they're playing chicken. Then, you know, this is what I would maybe consider pulling out of my pocket. And then now they have to respond. Well, we're looking at somewhere between 3 and 4K. Does that work within, you know, with your budget? And now they're not going to say, well, I don't know. They're usually going to give you some indication, right?
Yeah, at that point. Okay.
But that would be better, and I don't know if that's what you had in mind when you said, you know, maybe quoting market rates.
Yeah, I think I was thinking even higher.
Okay.
But that was, you know, I tend to see if I can get away with more, and then because it just seems so, it's so much easier to respond generally. Some people don't react well to it, but if I start higher and then they're just like, whoa, that doesn't work, it's much easier to come down to 3 to 4 rather than starting with 3 to 4 and then them balking and having to go down to 1.5 to 2.5. But I think for this situation, I am actually comfortable with quoting 3 to 4. I think that would make the most sense considering the position that I'm coming from. And yeah, I do actually think that makes me the most comfortable for this one.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's, you're looking at other factors other than just profitability,
right?
You're trying to solve the short-term problem of, I need to get some of these in my portfolio.
Mm-hmm. And in this,
so
this is, yeah, exactly.
You have the confidence, it sounds like, to be more in this range right now because you've got this, your pipeline's healthy.
Right.
But, you know, if your goal, when you think about all the factors, your goal is really more just getting something in the door, then, you know, this might be a safer bet. But again, you know, you kind of want to have some, you want to gauge it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the other white paper opportunities, one is in solar tech or a couple of them are in solar tech. And then the other opportunity is in health supplementation. So it's not health IT. So they're adjacent. They're both helpful. But this one, if I land this one, it would really be a huge advantage for me to get into a specific type of writing with a specific market that I really want to go for. So it might be worth it to start with that mid-range just to get it in the door, increase the likelihood of getting it in the door, you know.
There you go.
Okay.
This is what we want to do here, guys, is we want to be strategic about this stuff. You know, as a coach, I'm not going to be the guy telling you, forget that. You're better than that. You know, bring your fees up. I will do that, but you got to take a holistic approach to these decisions, number one. Number two, you always want to, you really want to be like a chess player, right? Chess is so much about not just the current move, but think about 3 or 4 moves ahead and what I do now, how that will impact the other player and then my next 3 moves and so forth. That's how you want to play it, is you want to think longer term here. And what I'm hearing is, based on all these factors, yes, this is not a fear-based decision you're making. You're being strategic about it. You're being a good chess player.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, keep us posted.
I will. Thanks for the help.
You bet. Erica likes my quote. Yeah. I can't claim credit for that one. Yeah, Ruthie says, I plan on asking them what their normal budget is. Let them give the first number. It's like a game of chicken. Yeah. Yeah, I always like to try. And half the time, they're not going to know, or they're not going to want to tell me, and they're going to weasel out of it. That's fine. That's why I always have then a range ready so that I don't like, you know, the whole, well, you know, I can't really tell you that. No, just go ahead and give them a range and then throw it back at them and then see what they say. In most cases, at that point, they're responding. Ruthie asks, what do they actually want from a white paper? Length and number of interviews, et cetera, right? Oh, and what they actually want from a white paper. Yeah. Yeah, so you have to factor that in as well. And you know, it goes without saying, guys, whenever you quote numbers, especially if you're having a conversation, you never want to quote numbers out of context. I like to think of it, and I don't know why this is the image that always just kind of comes to mind. I like to think of it as there's a table here. And the prospect It looks like he's standing on the table. Sorry. Let's, she's here. I'm here. And we're having this conversation. Gosh, this is horrible art. And, you know, like, what you don't want is, you don't want, like, this is the money stuff. Like, they want to know how much. And you, like, I picture myself reaching into my pocket and saying, okay, it's going to be this much. If all you put down on the table is the money, all it is, there's a number without the context. So I always like to think of, before I even quote that and talk about that, I always want to talk about other things. Value. Well, these are V's, not check marks. Value. And I think of it as like a pile, you know, a pile of V's. And then we can put a pile of money here on the table. And what you're doing, if this makes sense, is you have a way to measure the benefits in the context, or the money in the context of the benefits or the value. Okay, so you need to put both things on the table. So they could look at this, and then they could also look at that, and they can make a better decision. If all you talk about is the money, the chances go way, way down. So always, and you see my process for qualifying prospects, I always, this is why we start with other questions and other checkpoints first that bring out the value. And then once you have that on the table, then and only then does it make sense to talk about money, and then always bringing, even in the conversation, tying these two. So that's when, to use Ruthie's example, she would emphasize her experience and her background and why that's going to matter, why that's going to enable her to do a bang up job on this piece, because she's not going to need the hand holding. She gets it. She brings these perspectives to the table. Right? So. Yeah, I know. I really need to. And you know what's funny? I do a decent job drawing, but when I'm in a hurry like this, I just resort to stick figures. Okay, Liz, audio is working. So let's try this again. Liz.
Did I jinx it?
Yay!
Yay.
I hear you.
yes. Well, I think my question or conversation is a little bit about what you've just been discussing. So I had a conversation. Oh, so wait, I did the 9-word email. That led to a conversation with a Marcom team. Yay.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, and really liked them. They're in Australia. It'd be great to work with this group. And then I hung up without the always talk money.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I even had that as a sticky note on my computer, but I think it must have recently fallen off. So I have to put it back up because clearly I need that reminder. So I did this morning. I wrote back to one of the guys that I'm talking with and said, hey, I forgot, you know, and what's your budget? But it's that game of chicken. I fully expect for him to say, oh, we'd actually prefer to, you know, hear what your rates are. But maybe he'll say a range, which would be nice. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to go low, even though I really want to work with these people. But I guess I'm coming up against that fear of like, am I going to have to walk away or are they going to walk away if I'm too high?
Yeah. Well, ATM. So it sounds like by the way, ATM here, guys, just a reminder, always talk money.
Yeah.
But it should be later in the conversation as we just, you know, discuss. So it sounds like you did have this conversation, right, about what they're trying to accomplish, what that would mean, why it's been an issue, what's standing in their way, what they're looking for in a writer, like all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Is that okay? So you have an understanding of like what's at stake, what's worked and not worked in the past. Where I'm going with that is you know, things like risk, for instance, mm-hmm. risk in terms of choosing the right, the wrong person.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have a sense for how they feel about that? What's going on?
I think the one thing, that I heard in terms of their risk is they're making more of a target in the U.S. And so I think mm-hmm. that was where I stood out for them. I think all their other writers have been Australian.
Okay. And are they right squarely in your target market, like HR?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Selling to HR departments?
Yep.
Okay.
Even, and I brought up, because I'd looked at their website, and they're selling to Alaska Airlines, and here I am in Seattle. That's the Alaska hub is here. And
cool.
Yeah.
And anything else that, you know, in terms of what they do or what they're, or who they're targeting that, you know, you could say, oh, that's interesting because I've worked with this other company or I've done a lot of work in that area or on that topic or whatever. Anything else that came up?
Well, I did. So they do onboarding, you know, bringing in new clients. That's their, whatever, they're part of HR that they target. And So I, you know, my samples, I have plenty of samples on that topic. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
And did they know that, or did you have a way to show them that?
Yeah, they asked, and then I sent them right after our call. I said, hey, here they are, you know, let me know what you think. And then the one person, she's more PR, so she said, oh, great. And then the other guy said, yeah. And I said, can you send me your brief? Because that's the other thing. They've got a great brief. So he sent me that. Let me know what else you need. So that's when mm-hmm. I was like, what I need is your rates, your budget.
Well, what I need is, yeah, to have a money discussion. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you did the right thing. I mean, all you could do, you're trying to salvage it, right? So what you did is like, hey, I forgot to ask you, you know,
right.
what budget are you working with, but we don't know. And in the plus, they're a totally different time zone. So it's going to be tough. You know, if it were me, I think sounds like you've done a really good job of putting this stuff on the table and having them see it, right? You kind of like, you know, you're selling timeshares. You like put all the glossy pictures out and like,
right.
Just imagine, picture yourself waking up every morning, you know, this beautiful
yes.
beach. And now what was missing is the money part. You know, it sounds like if we were looking at it as, let's just say we're looking at this as multiple levels. You know, or tears.
Yeah. Well, and this, so they want one pillar page, which that was actually new to me. I can do it, but you know, it's one page, 2,000 words, and then they have 10 other pieces of content that will point back to that page, and they basically hand the whole thing off to the writer. It's like
gotcha.
A dream.
Oh, this is cool because it's
yeah.
a integrated.
Right. Be
project.
Example. I know.
Well, so if we looked at it, it's just three tiers, right? We,
yeah.
I wouldn't do this because, well, gosh, you know, right now, let me just hedge my bets. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
I may also not do this. And, but I would probably think about the lower end of that or the higher end of this.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a fine balance because you want it to be high enough that it says, hey, I'm a professional. I'm extremely qualified for this. I'm going to solve your problem.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about it. But not so high that, you know, gosh, maybe we should keep looking.
Right. I just had an idea. Yeah. This is slight
this
tangent.
Is conceptually, right? I know I'm
right.
not giving you a number. But
no, so, that's okay. Because I was going to go big or go home. I was like, forget it. If they're not giving me what I want, I'm out of here. But then that made me nervous, too.
What I hear is that there's good long-term potential here.
Yeah.
Right? They're a great fit.
Yeah.
And I know about your goals too, right? So
right.
I'm kind of factoring that in too. This advice has context.
Because, like, if I could land this pillar plus the 10 other items, you know, every other month, that'd be awesome.
And do you have an indication that, you know, there's that kind of work there?
No.
Oh.
Laughing at myself. I do sense that this is what, you know, this is how they operate. They do this pillar with the other 10, but I don't know that, you know, how frequently they would need somebody to do that.
So maybe it's, you know, upper end of the mid range or, yeah, you know, lower end of the high. I think it's unreasonable to go, you know, in the middle or top of the high right now if you are where you are right now.
Right.
If you're telling me, look, Ed, I am just, you know, I'm pretty slammed right now. I mean, it would be nice to have another client. Then I would say, all right, let's just go for it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And what this will do, going back to, we were having a little conversation earlier, I think it was Hannah, this enables you, if you're here, to have a discussion, you know.
Right.
If there's a problem, right? It's easier to go down than it is to go up if you needed to. And you know, if we go there, please remember, you know, you don't want to just go down for the sake of going down. Like, don't concede without asking for something in return. But
right.
But you have that opportunity. If you're here, it's going to, you know, you could scare them off.
Right. So even if you're at that lower high end, you still give a range, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would. And in fact, maybe that is the best. Maybe that is the best approach here is, instead of just saying, well, they haven't responded, I got to give them a fixed number and then let's just throw it over the fence. Maybe as you give them a fairly narrow range that's in here. And then, listen, I wanted to check in with you. We didn't talk about budget. Let me think. How would I propose that? Because you don't want to make it sound like, hey, I'm flexible.
Right.
What do you think? You know, no, you don't want that at all. Are there any questions that you didn't get answered? You could use that as an excuse for giving them a range right now and you need to get a couple of things.
Nothing's coming to the top of mind, but.
Okay. So with that, if the only unanswered question is what's your budget,
right.
I would just go ahead and quote a number.
Yeah.
I mean, if you give them a range, it's kind of like, why range, you know?
Yeah. And maybe I'll see what he says, right? He'll respond hopefully some point today. And
okay,
if he doesn't give me a budget, then I'll say, well, hey, this is what I typically charge, and then, you know, it includes all these things. I mean, I was also wondering if I, you know, or the I could still at that point say, I tip, you know, based on what I know, it would probably fall in between this. How does that seem to you? Is that still going back to the
don't use weasel language, meaning like, oh, I don't know, what do you think? You know,
right.
Again, you gotta come to it from a position of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And remind them, hey, we discussed this. Here's why I think I'm perfectly suited for this.
Yeah.
Here's the price.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and I always like to connect it back to this.
Right.
So this is like 1, 2, 3. Like value, shock. Let's remind you of the value again.
Right.
Not that it will be a shock, but.
Yeah, I was worried it might be. Plus, I'm dealing with their dollar is less than ours, but I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big, what, like 30% is kind of like the Canadian?
Right.
Oh,
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, when these things happen, that's when I wish I could just, like, live in Canada or Australia and bill in U.S. dollars and just live like an Australian or Canadian. If Paul has a good point. He says, but they pay much more than the American market. Interesting.
Oh.
So, well, hey, Paul, have you seen that, like, generally speaking on things? It sounds like you've seen that to be the case. I have friends there. Okay, cool. Interesting.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, Erica, by the way, yes, no joke. You need to get some U.S. clients. Getting U.S. clients for you, so you're a Canadian, it's like printing money. Like, really, you're already there. I mean, I'm thinking about moving just so I can benefit, but you're there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Paul says, this is good.
Yeah. Expensive place to live. Yeah, so totally. In fact, you know, so half my team is in Canada, and they bill me in U.S. dollars. So they've been, for the past few years, they've been doing 30% better, which, I mean, I love. That's great. So, yeah, do you think you have a clear?
Yeah, I feel better.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you can salvage this. I mean, don't feel like this is loss. I really think it. Sometimes it takes these things, you know, to remember. Always talk money.
Yeah, I'm putting up my sticky note again right now.
Well, you know what I think works better than sticky notes, seriously, is in my training on qualifying prospects, I have a cheat sheet. And, you know, you could use that, or you can even, because I think it's two pages, you can either even pare it down to one page. I don't think it's beneath you to, every time you talk to a prospect, take the cheat sheet out and use it as your outline to guide the call. And it will always, it's a pre-flight checklist. All your points will be there.
Right.
And it's going to take some time, and then eventually you're not going to need it because it's just going to be committed to memory. So I'm a huge believer in those things and those tools.
Honestly, with these people, I think, like, I wanted it too much, so I almost didn't want to ask about the money, if I'm being truthful.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate your honesty.
Right. That's my, like, Father Ed moment.
your freelance therapist.
Called? Yeah, exactly.
Father Ed.
My confession.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. So guys, for those, because Paul said, hey, I need that too, because I forget everything. In the training portal under convert qualify area, which is the middle one, how to qualify prospects effectively. Go through that. You'll see in there, look at the handouts, and there are two different ones. One is for prospects who come to you, so inbound, and one is for prospects you have reached out to outbound. I did it, so they're not quite, again, one-pagers, because I intended them to include information there that will be helpful. But I bet that you guys can – I just like to have it all in one sheet if it were me. And when I use this, I just had it in one sheet. Just make it your own, turn it into one sheet. I had a friend who used to laminate these too, like his – everyday cheat sheets, he would laminate them, keep them in a folder right next to his desk, and whenever he needed, just boop, pull it out and use it. If you really want to get fancy, get a dry erase marker with the lamination, and you can just check off each item as you go, and then you can keep reusing it. So, yeah, I think for you, Liz, the biggest thing that I hope you remember from this is that, again, one, remind them of the value. Risk. Guys, risk is a great thing that we all need to be touching on. It's not just the value in terms of direct value. There's these benefits of working with me, what I bring to the table. Is think about the risk that they don't have to take by going with you and trying somebody else. The fact that you've done all this work and you have this background and you know these topics well and you showed them these samples, I wouldn't just assume that they're going to connect the dots. Remind them that when they work with you, it's a much lower risk proposition. You don't need the hand holding. You hit the ground running. That's part of value. So that's number one. Number two is, here's the fee and here's how that works. Number three, again, I'd love to work with you. I'm confident that I could do a bang up job for you and, you know, have this be one less thing you have to worry about.
Yeah.
So a sandwich, really.
Okay. So Thank you.
The sandwich is basically the value. Here's the meat. That's the fee. And then this is value again. All right. Now you got to let us know how it turns out, Liz.
Will do.
Good luck. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and wrap up here. Great discussion. We had some very, very relevant topics. I'm glad you guys came to the call with some good stuff. So let's, here's what I'd love to know. Biggest takeaway or one of your biggest takeaways from today's conversations, type in a T in the chat area and just let me know. And then top action item, type in a capital A and let me know, hey, what's going to be out of everything that you know you got to work on? What is your top action item for the next week or two? Let us know in the chat area. I want to make sure you walk away with something tangible. That's why these calls are called momentum calls. They're not feel-good calls. Want to make sure that you don't just get insights and answers, but that you know exactly what you need to do next. So top takeaway or one of your top takeaways, T, top action item A. All right, Erica's top takeaway. Do some prospecting in the U.S. The best time to make a sale is when you've just made a sale. Yeah. There you go. Anna, top action item, started my training. Top takeaway, ATM. Made that mistake recently. Yeah, hey, we all do. It takes take some practice and maybe even a checklist. Liz, Australians pay more. Top takeaway, revamping my proposal documents so I include one or two value statements. Ah, great stuff. Yeah, and you may have to customize them quite every time for each prospect, depending on what they hit on and what you guys discuss. Ruthie, action item. I'm finished with my modules for my action plan, but I'm focusing on connecting with those government contracting companies. Man, I can't wait to hear about this, Ruthie. This just feels really good to me, and I'm glad you came up with that idea because I think there's something there for sure. Erica's top action item, grit my teeth and do the positioning exercise. There's no way around it, you know. It's like that workout. It's just like you just got to get it done. Got to get it done. There's no app yet to get that workout done for you. There's no way to outsource that to Uber. Uber, it's an Uber Eats, Uber exercise, Uber workout. Paul, start my game plan. Great. Awesome. Hannah, top takeaway, keep the momentum going after making a sale. Yeah, glad that resonated. Ruthie, triangulated samples. Yeah, exactly. Erica, maybe I'll do the positioning while I work out. Ed, you're brilliant. There you go. Yep. Combine it. You know, or I tell you what, all kidding aside, give yourself a little reward. So it's like, look, I'm going to not do the whole thing. I'm going to do the first 30 minutes. I'm going to do 30 minutes. And when I'm done, or you could do it in a 50-minute focus session, right? So 50 minutes. And in the 20 minutes in between, I'm going to give myself a reward. Or do a 50-20-50. And then a reward. And by that, I mean, hey, I'm going to whip out the French press and make myself a really luxurious cup of coffee in the French press. Something like that, right? Something that makes you feel really good that you normally wouldn't take the time to do. Ruthie says the Forest app is great for those blocks of work. Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, it's good stuff. And I also love Focus at Will. For those of you guys, I know some of you guys use it, Focus at Will, because it's got the music. That helps you stay focused and productive, and it's got the timer. So that's another one to consider. Okay, guys, great conversation today. Enjoyed this. You guys have a wonderful rest of the day, wonderful evening for you, Paul, and we'll continue these conversations in the Facebook group. Take care, everybody.